I'm going to turn to the scriptures. We have three readings followed by our text. Nathan's going to lead us in those readings. The first reading from Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 14. This is from the portion of the scriptures that is like a health manual. This is the regulations for infectious skin diseases. So very important practical details, and they're going to be relevant to our teaching on leprosy. So keep leprosy in your mind as we read that, followed by a reading in Matthew and in Isaiah.
Verses 1 to 7. The Lord said to Moses, "These are the regulations for the diseased person at the time of his ceremonial cleansing. When he is brought to the priest is to go outside the camp and examine him. If the person has been healed of his infectious skin disease, the priest shall order that two live clean birds in some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought for the one to be cleansed. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over fresh water in a clay pot. He is then to take the live bird and dip it, together with the cedar wood, the scarlet yarn, and the hyssop, into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. Seven times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the infectious disease, and pronounce him clean. Then he is to release the live bird in the open fields." And then to Matthew chapter 12. "Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, 'Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope." And then back to Isaiah, chapter 49. Isaiah 49, verses 1 to 6. "Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor.' But I said, 'I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due to me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God.' And now the Lord says, 'He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you."
Thanks very much, Nathan. What a wonderful thing said of Jesus. "It's too small a thing for you to be my servant and just restore the lost tribes of Judah. I'm going to make you a light for the Gentiles." I just love that. Let's now turn back to Mark's Gospel. So we conclude our short series in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1, and we read from verse 40. "Man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sends him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. Go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the word of God. Congregation, in the ancient world, leprosy was perhaps the worst sickness amongst pretty much all physical diseases. It's the most fearful of all illnesses. It could be called, I think rightly, a living death. Gradually and slowly one's body disintegrated and degenerated. The faces, the extremities of the body were severely affected, at times decomposed and fell away. Eventually, we had hands without fingers, feet without toes, heads with deformed eyebrows and eyelids and noses and lips and ears, nerve endings that no longer registered pain, and so we're not aware of the body's gradual destruction. And ordinarily, anyone with leprosy was banned from society and forced to join or live in a colony of lepers. How did they survive? Well, nearby relatives and friends would bring food and drink and other necessities of life and leave them at a distance, while those suffering in the leprosy colony would pine away until death released them from their misery, robbed of their name, their occupation, their habits, their family, their friends, and their worshiping community. See, leprosy was not just a disease of the body. It ate away, touched so many different things, so many precious things in life. And one day, a man with leprosy came to Jesus. Let's enter the story. And the first thing we see is he came in faith. He came in faith. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." It must have taken quite something for this man to have approached Jesus. Quite some boldness. If word had spread that Jesus was a healer, and it has spread, remember, all through Galilee, Jesus has been healing the sick and the demon-possessed. Even if word has spread to this man, remember, he's supposed to be in quarantine. Even if word has spread to him, unclean, unclean would ring out the warning if anyone got close to him. They were required to stay at a distance of at least 50 paces. For not only is he medically unclean, he's religiously unclean as well. And what does this man do? He comes to Jesus. He breaks the law to come near to Jesus. And he may well have been wondering to himself, how will Jesus react? Will he call the cops? The law's being broken after all. Will he listen to me? But our friend the leper breaks the law because he is desperate for help. We see his desperation as he falls on his knees. This is his chance, his last chance, his only hope. He came in faith. And we know he came in faith because of what he said when he's down begging on his knees. He doesn't say, does he? He doesn't say to Jesus, "Can you make me clean?" He's not asking that question. Do you see his faith? He knows that Jesus is able. The only question is whether Jesus is willing. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Not a question. A statement of faith. But his faith in Jesus' ability isn't what will heal him. You see, answered prayer isn't about how much faith that you have. The Bible does not teach that if you have lots and lots of faith, if you have great faith, then God will hear your prayer and answer your prayer, and if your prayers are unanswered, you lack faith. Friends, that's the error of the faith healers, and it's a terrible, a faith-sapping error. It's a wicked and false teaching. I've spoken about that before, and I'm come back to it again because it is a cancerous teaching. All the faith healers that you see on TV want, they're not interested in you, they're not interested in loving you, they're interested in your money. It's not about how much faith we have. Faith merely leads us to ask God. We ask because we believe in God's power. Friends, we've prayed already several times in our service, and we're going to be praying again a little bit later on. And the fact that we would do that we would take time, devote time to talking to God, is a demonstration of our faith. We come to God with our prayers not to ask if He is able to answer them. We believe that already. The only question is whether He is willing. The only question is how God will work out His sovereign plan in our lives and in the lives of those we love. Isn't it true? Because God is able. Because God is able, we prayed for our brother Yondre when he was very sick. We prayed for him for many weeks. We prayed for healing because, like the leper, we know that the Lord is able. We knew that. Yondre knew that himself. If he wants to, he can heal. Yondre knew that. We asked because all things are possible with God. So we asked and we prayed above all, a prayer above all our requests. This prayer also: God, glorify your name. God, glorify your name through answered prayer or through grace that is sufficient for us in our trials. Glorify your name through granting us the grace of dying well, confident in you as Yondre was. Glorify your name. That is what matters most to us. And you know, that is what God did in Yondre's life and in his death. God is able. Please grant us our request today, O God, if they would glorify your name. The leper came to Jesus, and he came to Jesus in faith. Just as in prayer, we also approach God in faith. The leper came in faith. The second thing we see in our text is that he receives compassion. He came in faith and he received compassion and healing. But he received compassion. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. He was cured. If it should astonish us that the leper broke the law, that he was so bold as to break the law to come near to Jesus, then what Jesus does next blows the mind. Moved with compassion for this man, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. We take touch for granted, the gift of touch. But touch, friends, is the last thing someone suffering from leprosy takes for granted. Leprosy being a disease that slowly deadens the sense of touch. With the isolation that having to keep away from other people, keep at a distance, keep it at a quarantine distance. With the distance that the disease meant, having to keep from others, lepers didn't get touched. No handshakes. No one to give them a hug or put an arm around their shoulder when life was looking bleak. Friends, leprosy was a socially isolating disease. And what does Jesus do? Jesus touches the man. Moved with sympathy towards him, Jesus touched him. And the touch of Jesus speaks more loudly than words, perhaps even. I don't know if any of you have seen the film, the work of Father Damien, the Belgian priest who ministered to exiled leprosy sufferers on Molokai Island in Hawaii. He cared for them, touched them. He shared food. He didn't keep at a distance. He touched them. He was living in the footsteps and the witness of Jesus. Eventually he caught leprosy and he died. He touched him in compassion. And then Jesus' words touch the leper more deeply than any act of human love. It's a compassionate touch followed by a compassionate cure. Simple words on the part of Jesus are all it takes for prayer to be answered. I am willing, Jesus said. And friends, if God is willing, nothing can stand in the way. A little bit like last year when we prayed for our mission team in the Solomon Islands. The ferry's not sailing. We can't get to the island. We prayed for that. But if God is willing, not even a ferry timetable can stand in the way of God's plans. If God is willing, no obstacle can stand in the way. And immediately the leper was cured. Well, actually, Mark says, the leprosy left him and he was clean. That's the word Mark uses here. It seems, you see, his encounter with Jesus has done more than simply heal him. It's cleansed him as well. Not just a medical cure, a religious cleansing at the same time. This man, you see, has encountered Jesus. He's encountered Jesus in faith, and the outcome is cleansing. It is purity. It is acceptance. Actually, for those of you who are interested, there's an interesting variation in the text at the beginning of verse 41, filled with compassion. And that variation has Jesus filled not with compassion, but with anger. Filled with anger, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. And it actually seems to me more likely to have been what Mark wrote. Anger because of the suffering. Anger at seeing the soul-destroying effects of sin in the world, the brokenness of sin in this man's life. But can you see how even if anger was the emotion, compassion is what results? He received compassion from Jesus. And when we approach God ourselves in prayer, we need to know that we approach a compassionate God. He's a compassionate God. Even though he's not a God who waves a magic wand and takes away all the brokenness in the world right away, right this minute. Though he could if he wanted. He's able, isn't he? He's able to do that. We approach a compassionate God who could take away all the brokenness in the world right now if he wanted. We approach a God whose plan is to take away the brokenness and the suffering and the sin, and to do so again in the new heavens and the new earth in time. And at times, like on this occasion, we catch a glimpse of what that new life will be like. The newness of body, the cleansing of soul. The compassionate character of our Lord encourages us in our prayers as well at the same time. The leper receives compassion, and we receive compassion when we bring our needs before the Lord as well. There's one final highlight in our text. This man came in faith, he received compassion, and he left with a warning. He left with a warning. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. Go show yourself to the priest, offer the sacrifices Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. In the first place, the man was to go to the priest. In other words, Jesus is saying, my friend, do this one by the books. He had broken the law to come to Jesus, but Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so Jesus encourages this man to live God's way, under God's law, to live the way that we read in Leviticus before, what that looked like. Go, after you've been healed, after you've been cleansed, go, the law said, get yourself checked out by the quarantine officer, take a medical examination to make sure that it's gone, and show your thankfulness. Show your thankfulness. Bring the sacrifices, even though I have already cleansed you. Bring the sacrifices as a testimony to them. But above all, keep your mouth shut. That's what Jesus says here, isn't it? Keep your mouth shut. Jesus is emphatic. Your lips are to be zipped. They are to be sealed. Don't breathe a word about what I have done to anyone. But you know what it's like when you have a secret. There's this temptation, isn't there? There's this temptation to share. I've heard it reported that the playwright Oscar Wilde said he could resist everything except temptation. He could resist everything except temptation. This man who's healed is, it seems, cut from the same cloth. The moment he's gone, what is he? He's blabbing away to everyone. That's what the text says. Why does Jesus give this strong warning? Wouldn't Jesus want people to know about his power? Wouldn't he want people to know that he's deeply compassionate? Well, yes, but the time wasn't yet right. We read in Matthew's gospel how it's linked to Jesus being Isaiah's suffering servant. A Savior who comes as an undercover agent, as it were, hidden and concealed until the time is right. And Jesus didn't want to spark a premature Easter. His ministry still had 3 more years to run at this point. There was much for him to teach his disciples and train them in before the time would be right. But Mark tells us that this man's disobedience brought consequences. Because he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Mark tells us this man's disobedience brought consequences. Jesus couldn't enter towns openly any longer. He would have gotten mobbed by the crowds. And there is, I think, a sad but ironic reversal that we should observe here. The man who was socially isolated through leprosy turns Jesus into one who was socially isolated. The story ends, you see, with Jesus outside of society, outside of the town, staying where? In the lonely places, on his own. And yet still the people came. People are still coming. People are still coming today. They are still coming. Perhaps you are coming. You've heard of Jesus' compassion and you want to know more. You want to explore the beginnings of faith. And if that's you tonight, then I say to you, welcome. Welcome. For the rest of us, the command has changed. But it's still a call to obedience. The example of the leper who disobeyed and the negative consequences, I think you see, should motivate us to obedience rather than disobedience. Although now there's a different charge. There's a different call. You see, Jesus now calls us. Jesus now calls you not to keep your mouth shut, but to keep your mouth open. Go disciple the nations, he says, calling people to Jesus from everywhere and anywhere. What's your mouth doing? What's your mouth doing? And we ask ourselves these questions as a church as well. Where and how is God calling us to do this as a church in Glenvale and Toowoomba? How can we open our mouths as a church to speak of Jesus and his power to save? We are, after all, as our denomination mission statement declares, we are a church reforming to reach the lost for Christ. How can we open our mouths as a testimony to those around us? What might encourage the lost to approach us as they approach Jesus? How can we display compassion, winsome compassion, as our Lord did. The Lord Jesus saved us. He's healed us through His death and resurrection. We are His new people. We are a new creation. We are a people of compassion. We're a people on a mission, a people with open mouths. Mouths open with praise, open with good news, and open for all. Friends, keep your mouth open. Amen.